Praise the Lord. Well, you know, I was thinking about one of the things that Jesus told the pastors to do is he told Peter, he told others, and throughout the Word of God, it says that the pastoral office is to feed, said, feed my sheep, feed the lambs, you know, that type of thing. But I got to think about it. And I don't know why I was thinking about this. This has nothing to do with my sermon, by the way. This is just a thought. You know, if the only time you ate was when you went out to eat, you're either going to spend a lot of money or you're not going to eat very often. You have to learn how to feed yourself, right? I want to encourage you tonight, just as we begin off tonight, learn how to feed yourself for the Word of God. Because really coming to church is like coming to the restaurant and getting a special meal. Amen. And we had our master chef this morning, Pastor Hagen, prepare a master meal for us. You know, you don't get that all the time. Think about it. 60 years of ministry, and we're sitting here. I've heard that before. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? You know, so tonight's another time you came to the restaurant tonight, if you will. I realize the church is much more than that, but in relationship to feeding, this is where someone else is prepared. But we need to learn how to prepare and to not to feed ourselves so we can preach sermons, but feed ourselves the Word of God. Amen? It is this Word that He has given us. You think about the miraculous story of the Word of God and all that is involved with it. The men and women who have given their life and how God has caused His Word to come to us. In these days, it's a wonderful thing. And so I encourage you to continue to feed yourself and then come on and get these special meals, if you know what I mean, right? Amen. How many like to go out to eat every once in a while? Praise the Lord. Well, there you go. So that had nothing to do with my sermon tonight. I was just thinking about that as I was there. All right, let's go over to John chapter 4. I want to talk tonight. Now, I'm not going to finish this sermon. You know, I've got a whole list of scriptures here, and my goal tonight is not to get through my list of scriptures. My goal tonight is to begin a discussion and to remind us, to put us and stir up our pure minds of remembrance. Maybe for some, we'll plant some seed. Others will water seed. But I want to begin talking about here, and maybe, you know, if I'm called upon again to pick up there, but talking tonight about being God inside minded, and specifically tonight, especially starting with what the Holy Spirit's residence in us, not only in us but upon us. You know, Brother Hagin has a wonderful book, The Spirit Within and the Spirit Upon. We're going to talk a little bit about that, not necessarily from his book, but you can read that sometime if you want to. But I want us to turn to John chapter 4, if you would, with me to start tonight. And again, I'm going to be reading from the King James Bible, but if I take the these and thous and the ETH off of stuff, you know, that just stands for S in the modern English. Drinketh stands for drinks, all right? And so you can kind of figure that out as we go. John chapter 4. Verse 14. Now here Jesus is at the well in the Samaritan woman there, and he's asked her for something to drink, and she wants to know why, you know, he's asking her, and then he tells her, you know, that if you drink the water that I could give you, you'll never thirst again. But look at verse 14. He said, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him. Everybody say, in him. Amen. So instead of in him, say, in me. Amen. A well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's God, the Holy Ghost. And by the way, we'll see it pretty clear that he's talking about the Holy Ghost here. But God in us, that happens at the new birth. Okay? God in us springing up into everlasting life. Now, every need you have is met by that spring. That's for your life. It's for my life. I mean, what more do I need than God? Now see, that, let me tie in what I was talking about before, see, so I'm making sense of it. But in talking about learning to feed yourself, you see, you know, so much of the time I think we have, and I've been going back listening and studying and rereading some things that, and the Holy Spirit's been bringing things around my remembrance that I heard when I was a Bible school student here, and heard especially Brother Hagin say about some things, and it's starting to make sense to me now after all these years. But I heard people were mad when he made this statement. People, I sat next to, oh, what's he talking about, you know. But him talking about, you know, the healing lines aren't really for church folks. We ought to be receiving our healing because the word says that, and we've got that well of living water springing up on the inside of us. Now he said nothing wrong with getting in a prayer line. But really, we should grow to the place where we're receiving what we have need of from that, what? That everlasting life that's springing up on the inside. Have you ever been around a spring? The water just keeps, you have to cap it to keep it from just coming, continuing to flow, right? Don't cap this spring. Let it keep flowing in us. And that's why, you know, and thinking about his ministry, when he was traveling, especially in the churches, he'd go somewhere for weeks. And, you know, during the late 40s up to the late 50s, there was a great healing revival here in the United States and also around the world. And I heard him and heard others say it was seemed like the easiest thing in the world to get people healed in those meetings. But then a lot of times people would lose that which they got. And he came in behind a lot of those meetings and would go to churches, and many of those people who'd received miraculous healings were back in the same condition, sometimes worse. Well, I guess God didn't heal them. No, God had healed them. But they didn't have the strength to keep hold of what God had done in them. Well, I just believe if God does something, it's done forever. Well, you can believe that if you want. Amen. But he'd come in and teach them. And then they'd receive their healing and lay hold of it with their faith, not the faith of the other. And thank God for the gifts of healings and working of miracles, those things that are as the Spirit wills. But they initiated it this time. And now once they knew how to get it, then they'd teach them how to keep it. You see, well, they're, again, feeding themselves. But being God inside-minded is, to me, one of the greatest things that we can become. That we have this everlasting life, well of everlasting life springing up in us. Glory to God. Now, what's it doing in there? Well, it's quickening this mortal body. Romans 8:11 says, hallelujah. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Here we go, just running a very good list of scriptures, because this one isn't on it. That's all right. Amen. He says here in chapter 4, he's talking about the preaching of the gospel. And it's not hidden. If it's hidden, it's because the god of this world, the little g, Satan, has blinded their minds. Unless the image of God should shine unto them. Excuse me. A little whistle there. For we preach not ourselves. Now, all right, drop down here. And he gets here and he says in verse 6, he says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Now I'm in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In whose heart? Our heart. Now, this is written to Christians, so he's writing this to you and I. But we have, say we have, and you understand if we have, then I have. Say I have. What do we have? This treasure, what treasure? This glory of God, this knowledge of God in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. See, it's not my power working in me, it's his power working in me. We are troubled on every side and not yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Why? Because this life, this spring, is not something we're getting from the outside. Oh, God, you know, and I understand the idea. There are manifestations of the Spirit. And there are manifestations of the presence of God. But I don't have to have a manifestation. I've got that already on the inside of me. You do too. But are we living from a God inside mentality? Now, he didn't stop there. Let's keep reading this. This is some good stuff here, folks. You ready? Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Now, where does that life reside? It's in our spirit. But here he's saying that that life should be manifest in this body. Glory to God. Every once in a while, you know, and I know I've been, the Lord's prompted me to be more, but that life is working in my body. It's working in every organ. And as many of my internal organs as I can remember, I start naming them. Right? And if your anatomy is not very good as far as your remembrance, just say from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, glory to God, the life of God is working in me, manifesting in my mortal body. Amen. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. He's not talking about the rapture here, folks. Totally out of context. He's talking about that glorious light, the life and light of God manifest right now in this body, this mortal body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We talked last time I ministered about the glory of God and how that men like John G. Lake took that plague. He was ministered in the midst of the plague. And they said, Lake, you got to get out of here. This is killing everybody. He said, nah. He said, the life of God in me is greater than that. What's in that? He said, put some of that in my hand. And they put that living, active plague in his hand. And they looked at it under a microscope. Then they put it in his hand. They put it back in the microscope. And it had totally died. It was no longer because that life on the inside of him. Every sickness and disease, every jerk that comes against my body dies because of the life of God. Amen. Look at, thank you, Romans chapter 8. That well of, that spring of living water springing up into everlasting life. It's a constant flow. Don't cap it. Amen. Don't shut it off. Don't turn off. Don't shut the valve off. It needs to constantly be flowing. See, that's one reason why we see things. The believers can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover because we've got that life in us. And it's transferable to others through the laying on of hands. That's another sermon, but Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, this whole chain, he starts talking about now being spirit-minded. Spirit-minded, God on the inside-minded, not walking according to the natural, the five physical senses, not limited to. It's not that we don't pay attention, but we're not limited to what we can see, what we can hear, what we can smell, taste, and touch. We're not limited by that. For the law of the Spirit of life, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of what? Life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of death. Oh, glory to God. What death? That death that now working in this mortal body, that life is working in me. That life is working in me. Hallelujah. Making me alive. Praise God. Praise God. That life is working in us. It's springing up into everlasting life. Now, we don't get everlasting life when we go to heaven. We've got it now. Amen. It's ours now. Right. Not going to be. We have it now. Now, I realize there's some things concerning the resurrected body that we're going to have. We don't have that yet. We don't have that fully redeemed body. That's not. We still have this mortal flesh. But notice, in this mortal flesh, All right, that life's to be working. Drop down here. Look at verse 9, same chapter. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Where? In you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body's dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Woo, glory to God. Quicken means made alive. That Spirit's making this mortal body alive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We don't have to experience life the way the world experiences it. Amen. We don't have to, you know. Yeah, your body's aging. It's getting older every day, every moment from the time you're born. It's an aging process. I'm not so sure that was God's original intent, because we're going to get a body that isn't subject to death any longer. Right? We don't have it yet. But then again, we don't have to live a life of weakness. Amen. Hallelujah. I really hadn't intended on talking about healing, but it's kind of come that way. Amen. Glory to God. So the Spirit within us. Go back to John chapter 14. Hallelujah. We're talking about being God inside minded, the Spirit within us. Thank God this just isn't for a special few. This is for every child of God. Hallelujah. You know, I know. It seemed like back in the day when I got born again and Spirit filled, but it seems like that back then, you know, folks thought that being with the Spirit upon us, that's a second move, but with the Spirit upon us, that made you somehow a better Christian than other Christians who weren't what we call baptized with the Holy Ghost. No, they've got the same Holy Ghost you do. They just haven't had that second working of the Holy Spirit, if you will. Same Holy Ghost. Just a different flow. In fact, hold your finger here. Go to John 7. Let's look at that. We'll see the difference here real quickly. Now that spring of living water, springing up into everlasting life. That's something inside of you. All right? That's the Spirit within. But then he also talked about Jesus something else. John 7, 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Now here we see a different, the other one's a springing up inside of us. This is an outward flow. All of our needs, listen to me, all of our needs are met by that spring on the inside. Now we're able to meet the needs of others by the outward flow. Amen. See, that makes me be able to do that flowing out of the Spirit of God. That water flowing out helps me to be able to minister to others. You shall receive power, Acts 1:8, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses. See, notice the immediate working of that is not... Now, thank God for the initial evidence of speaking in tongues, but the immediate effect of that is not speaking in tongues. It's to make me a witness to others. In other words, to make me a minister. I didn't say preacher. Whatever you're called to, that flowing out. See, it's God flowing out of us to others. So back in John 14 then, Let's run some verses here in these next chapter 14, 15, and 16. We're not reading it all, but just jump in here with me. Verse 16, John chapter 14, verse 16. I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter. We know that comforter is paraclete. It means helper, comforter, counselor, intercessor, standby, advocate, strengthener. That he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Again, say in you. Well then, that's in me, right? So say in me. See, that comforter, that helper, that counselor, that intercessor, that standby, that advocate, that strengthener is in me. Oh, I just, you know, pray for me that I'd have strength. No, look to the inside. Be God inside minded. He's there. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Verse 26. But the comforter, the helper, the comforter, the counselor, the intercessor, the standby, the advocate, the strengthener, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. Glory to God. Well, what's he here to do? He's here to help us. He's here to teach us. Chapter 15, verse 26. But when the comforters come, well, who is that again? I'm saying this because I want you to get it. The helper, the comforter, the counselor, the intercessor, the standby, the advocate, the strengthener, who's on the inside of me, who's on the inside of you. He said, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. Then he talks about bearing witness. Then chapter 16, verse 7 through 16 here. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient or necessary or better for you that I go away, for I go not away. The who? The comforter, the helper, the comforter, the counselor, the intercessor, the standby, the advocate, the strengthener will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. You see the threefold work of the Holy Ghost there in the life of every person on the earth. Who is it that brings somebody that reproves the world of sin? That doesn't believe? It's the Holy Ghost. And what's he dealing with people about? Not their actions. He's dealing with them about not believing on Christ. That's what he's dealing with them about. Right? You come to Jesus, the Holy Spirit starts working in your life, you'll get your life straightened out. You can't get straightened out enough to get right with God. See, then he says of righteousness. And then of judgment. Because the prince of this world is judged. There is judgment. The devil has already been judged. He's the prince of this world here. He's already been judged. And realize that, you know, the Bible says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Well, whoever your Lord is, when you absent this body, that's who you're going to be present with. I'd much rather receive Jesus' judgment than the devil's judgment. I'm going to tell you that right now. What is Jesus' judgment? Righteous. Just. Holy, sanctified. Amen. He says, I have many things yet to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all the truth. All truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall reveal of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while and you see me, you shall not see me. And again, in a little while and you shall see me because I go to my Father. Well, here we see something about the Holy Spirit, that he's come to reveal some things to us. Reveal to us who Jesus is. I always love that in verse 14. This helps me so many times when I'm looking at things and wondering, well, is that God? Is that me? Or is that, you know, what is that? Is that the devil? Is that me? Or is that God? You know, a lot of things I'd like to blame on the devil, but, you know, a lot of times it's just me. We'll move right along from that one. I said me, not you. Okay, come on. But I noticed this. everything that the Holy Spirit does glorifies Jesus. Isn't that right? He glorifies Jesus. So who gets the glory out of whatever's taking place? See, whenever you see something and you think, well, is that God? Is that God? Is Jesus being glorified? Amen. If I'm being led by the Spirit of God and I'm yielding, learning to yield to the Spirit of God, and I sense a direction from the Lord, who's going to get the glory if I do that? Am I going to be glorified? Am I going to be made, is going to lift me up? Well, if that's the case, then that can't be God, because he's going to glorify Jesus. Do you understand that? So who gets the glory out of it? Praise the Lord. Turn over to 1 John now. Little John, if you will, as that youth group member said to me those many years ago. Do you mean Big John or Little John? He called the gospel Big John. So this is Little John, if you will. 1 John chapter 2. Hallelujah. Amen. And of course we know that the Holy Spirit, he helps us, he teaches us, he reveals things to us, and thank God he has empowered us. The Bible says, Paul prayed in Ephesians 3 that we would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in our inner man. You know, you read Wigglesworth's book, Ever Increasing Faith, and he'd say, you know, I think it said 10,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. He's talking about his spirit, the real man on the inside. See, that's where real strength is, on the inside. Be strong in the Lord on the inside. Nourished up, the Bible says, Paul told Timothy, be nourished up, be spiritually fit. Proverbs 18 says, the spirit of man shall sustain him. Alex the Amplified said, the strong spirit of a man shall sustain him in infirmity. See, when things try to come against you. Now, you know, you realize this. Sometimes I get a kick out of, you know, it's kind of laughable when a new study comes out that says, well, if you do that, it'll kill you. Do you know everything on this earth will kill you? Amen. I don't care. If you feed anything to a rat in that much quantity, you're going to kill them. But everything, the whole earth is cursed, folks. It got cursed. Genesis chapter 3, read it. The ground is cursed. Well, I don't believe I'm going to eat organic. Did it come from the ground? Well, yeah, it's organic. You better bless it, speak over it, and receive it with thanksgiving. I don't care what it is. Amen. Amen. We're so proud of ourselves. So proud of our natural, you know, I'm going back to live the way. No, you don't. You're not going back to live the way they did back when things were all natural. Bring your phone. Bring your cell phone to me. Car keys. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. But you have an unction, King James says, anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You have an unction, an anointing. What is that? That's the Spirit of God within us. Drop down there to verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. Ooh, glory to God. You know, and I've done it. I've understand it. We sing, you know, anointing, fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. It's already in me. Come on now. We got to change the way we think, folks, because listen, in these last days, we're going to be run to keep up with the Spirit. I'm telling you, there's a quickening. When I say quickening, I don't mean a lot, but the pace is quickening, quickening, quickening. And I tell you what, some of them aren't as young anymore, you know. How many of you know when you get a certain age, 40's young? Can I get a witness? Yeah, I got a few folks a witness here. And I call these guys young men, but I'm listening to them teach, and they're winding me up. They're talking about the Spirit of God in us. They're talking about God's life is in us. Glory to God. And it's just winding me. And they're having miracles, and nobody's even praying for people. They're not laying hands on me. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But they're just sitting there while they're preaching, people are getting healed. When they realize that healing power, see, the healing power is already in you. It's the Holy Ghost. It's His, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power. That Holy Ghost, that same Holy Ghost that anointed Jesus is in you. Glory to God. When about doing good and healing all? Well, first of all, it's going to heal me. Like Pastor Marvin said, well, when I'm healed, I can go out and do whatever God's called me to do. He says, the anointing which you have received in Him abides in you. In you. It's in me. You need not any man teach you, but that same anointing teaches you all things. And there's a truth and no lie. Even as you taught Him, you shall abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, and you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of Him, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knew Him not, because knows us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now, everybody say now. See, sons here is a position in Christ, not a gender. Does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see Him, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We shall see Him as He is. Glory to God. That anointing, that unction is on the inside of us. It's working in me. It's working in me. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is working in you. Quickening your mortal body. Quickening your mortal body. Hallelujah. It's quickening my mind. It's quickening my memory. I'm not losing my memory in the name of Jesus. That life is in me. My mind is sharp. Glory to God. Amen. I can go through. I'm not, you know, sometimes it's not losing your memory. There's just so much of it stacked in there. But my that life of God in me helps me catalog those memories. Helps me go to the exact file I need at the exact moment. Glory to God. It's in me, working in me. Hallelujah. That life. I'm telling you, you start talking like that, your life's going to change. You start talking about the life of God in you, it's going to change your life. It may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen next week. But I'll guarantee you, you talk like that next year, you won't be the same person you are right now. There's going to be something about you. Arise, shine, for the light is coming. The glory of the Lord will be risen upon you. We'll be able to see the light in you. Amen. See, when you have this light, when you have, you understand you've got the life of God, you don't walk around with your head down. You don't walk around depressed. You don't, the things of life don't bother you. They just fall off of you. Why? That life is in you. Glory to God. It just falls right off of you. You're just like Jesus. They try to come against you. You just walk right through the midst. They can't touch you. Why? Because that life is in you. Hallelujah. That life. But it takes a change of thinking. We have to be spiritually minded. God's inside of me. That's why, you know, we used to have some songs. You know, we'd sing some songs. You know, I've got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God. I've got His life, His nature, and His ability. Amen. I remember after I first came over among the Pentecostals, they'd sing, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. You got to sing those things to yourself. You got to keep those things. That's the song of the Lord. You're going along. It doesn't have to be that song, but something like that about who you are. You're just driving along. And all of a sudden, you just start singing something. This comes up out of you. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, Father, we thank you. That's a good place to unhitch right there. I got some more we're going to talk about. Amen. But that Spirit of God in us, say, He's in me. Spring of life. Hallelujah. In me. In me. Glory to God. In you. In us. What's going to happen when all of us that have that life in us ever get together? Glory to God. Ooh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. And then that well, that river flowing out. One of them's a well springing up. The other's a river flowing out. You seen anything yet that can stop a river fully? Uh-uh. You know, they put a dam, they can dam it up for a while. But I'll guarantee you, you come back in 100 years, that dam will be gone. Unless they maintain it. That river will not be stopped. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Hallelujah. Amen. Man, we should talk about what makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors and sets the captives free. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you. Let's all stand together. Father, we thank you and praise you tonight. We give you glory. We give you honor. Thank you, Father God, that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. He's quickening our mortal bodies. Hallelujah. That life is being manifest in us. Thank you, Father. We give you praise and we give you honor. Thank you, Lord, for the mighty Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 Well, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, don't forget Wednesday night, Rami, that's what they're calling him, the tour guide that the Messianic Jew that was their tour guide for Pastor Hagin, the Hagin's group that went to Israel a few years, year or so ago, will be here. I'd want to be here if I think all the youth are in here, JV and varsity that night, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct? Yes. So you'll be in here. You want to be here Wednesday night. So come early, get a good seat. Praise the Lord. And with that, Pastor Marvin, do we have first-time guests at all? Okay. All right. Now listen, if you need prayer for anything, now listen, there's no condemnation of those who are in Christ. I talked about learning, getting to that place to receive yourself. But listen, there's no condemnation at all to come pray with somebody. Why? These folks are going to pray with you according to the Word of God. Hallelujah. And that's what gets results. Amen. I love that scripture. We didn't read it there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, though. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, we believed, and therefore we speak. Come, these folks have the same spirit of faith. Let them speak over your life. Amen. All right. All things good? We good? See you on Wednesday night. God bless you. Have a great week.